From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we're here for show number 148.
148?
That's right. 148.
I can't
believe
it.
All you people scoring at home.
Yeah.
It is. My God. We're still here.
And
by the way, this is Randall Berger, my friend who does this broadcast with me. Randall!
Hi! I'm sitting here 150 kilometers away, your partner in crime. I'm Robin to your Batman.
Yeah, but I still look lousy in those tights you sent me.
Yeah.
Jesus, Randy.
I know.
Randy.
And anybody who wears the underwear on the outside, I mean, that's really bad. That's really naff.
I look like a sausage. Anyway. Sorry, I went there. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to start off the show today talking about the Republicans and the Democrats. Of course, there are a lot of great things to talk about.
Yeah,
with
we
Trump.
Usually do an update on the election.
Yes. Well, I'll just say that the Republican Party is falling into line like good Germans, and who knew that that would happen. But what I really want to focus on for the opening of this show is basically how the Democratic Party is planning to lose this election. And they are.
Boy, I'm going to listen to this.
They are. Well, God, you have no choice. But they are efficiently trying to lose this election,
they sure
ladies and
are.
Gentlemen. They're starting off so well. We want to talk a bit about Nevada. Now, what happened in Nevada, as you know?
Well, first no, of all, I don't was, know.
Well, it was a shit sandwich.
Yeah,
a shit sandwich,
but was it made with real shit or artificial shit?
No.
Was it fact or was it fiction?
You know, it was true, free-range bullshit.
Mm.
And what we'd like to do is talk a little bit about that. Now, to frame this, let's talk a little bit about it. Basically, the Democratic Committee in Nevada had a convention at a casino.
No.
Which was properly, that's a good setting for this.
Yeah.
And they were apportioning delegates. Now, what happened in this convention was that there was a big debate over rules. And what we came away with was an absolute explosion of animosity from the Sanders people. And people from CNN to the New York Times have been condemning the Sanders people for being violent. They're throwing chairs.
What?
They're raping and pillaging, dogs sleeping with cats. Oh my God.
Oh, the end of the world. I've never heard of it.
But the actual truth of the matter is that basically, if you look at the convention, it was a travesty. Now, here's a few clips that I've purloined from different sources.
Purloined.
Now, as you know,
that sounds like a cut of meat.
Yeah, I know.
A purloined, yeah.
So here, basically, what we have is a voice vote. Now, I got a list of all the reasons why this wasn't a setup from one of my Hillary friends. And I said, oh, well, maybe they're right. Maybe the people just didn't understand the rules. And then I looked at the videotapes that were available on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is one of them. This is a voice vote in the beginning. Now, basically, it was a very loud, raucous procedure. And the head of the person who was basically deliberating that discussion was basically a person that named Roberta Lang. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Roberta Lang, but Roberta Lang was in charge of that thing. She was chairing the meeting.
Yeah.
A voice vote came up that said, look, we don't want voice votes. We want to have a party division and so that everybody makes sure, because the place was a zoo.
Yeah.
So they motioned that basically what we're going to do is we're going to have a voice vote. I want you to listen to this. Now, this is her gaveling in a voice vote. Now, the motion is basically that we're no longer having voice votes, and that's a good reason, because that means it takes the power away from the chair. Mm. It means that it's individually counted.
Yeah, well, so,
You'd figure that basically if there's any question whatsoever about a vote, then you just do it as a division. That's it. That's no problem. Well, that didn't occur to the Democratic head there. So this is an example of the free and fair democracy that was available for you in Nevada if you're a Bernie supporter. So here's the motion on not doing a voice vote that was carried on at the Democratic convention in Nevada. Have a listen to this.
It has been moved and seconded that the temporary convention rules be passed by the body. All those in favor say aye.
That's Roberta Lang, chairwoman of the Nevada State Democratic Party and member of the National DNC Executive Committee. After the rules state that the votes will be done by voice, the rules also say this, quote, if the convention chair is unable to determine the outcome of a voice vote, a vote of standing division shall be taken. No vote of standing division was taken.
You've got to be kidding
me. So nobody could tell. So why didn't she do a division?
Well, no, it was easy. I mean, first of all, do you hear the no's come out? Now, even if you're charitable, even if you don't realize that a majority of people there didn't want this to go ahead, even if you just say that, there's no way that through that you could make a clear choice. So a standing division should have happened.
Yeah.
It didn't. She banged the gavel and walked away and said, no, that's it. Sorry, that's it. Now, let's go to another clip. Oh, she's a gem, darling. This woman's a gem. This is referring to what the DNC pulled with the scheduling of this convention day. Hold on for a minute. Here, listen to this.
There was a lot of issue yesterday, and they also did cross-program the convention on the graduation day from UNLV and a lot of other colleges so that the millennials aren't here. If you notice, it's not there's not a lot of young people here. Why? Because they're all graduating.
So they scheduled the convention on the day that all the colleges in the area are graduating.
Yeah.
No, that, I'm sure that has no effect whatsoever.
No, not whatsoever. No, of course not.
Jesus
no.
Christ. And then, oh my God. And then the end of day. Now, at this point, people are livid. They feel that they are absolutely being trampled on.
Railroaded, I think is
they're
the term.
They're getting railroaded. They're absolutely being trampled on. Here's the end of the day and the close of procedure. This is how this thing ended. Listen to this.
For the end of the long day, keep in mind that PLEO or PLEO stands for Party Leader and Elected Official. For this part, I'm going to sync the audio from Jason Yane's Periscope broadcast and the better video from Adrian Ashley's Facebook broadcast. Keep in mind that the audio does contain some language that may not be suitable for children.
She fucking passed.
here's an alternate Twitter video from J.H. Fearless, again with audio that does contain some language.
Ladies and gentlemen, what the fuck was that? That was you getting shafted.
I can't believe it.
Do you believe that?
I mean, the thing is, well, no, these people, how do they think they can get away with anything these days? With citizen journalists,
I know.
Every person has a camera. Every person has a phone.
Yeah.
Every person can make movies. Yep. For the last 20 years, you can't get away with shit.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Well, how did
this goes on, trust me. Because basically the narrative that the Hillary Clinton campaign has been pushing since this happened, and the media has just fallen into line with the idea that basically there was a lot of swearing. It was very loud. But they have basically said that the Sanders people were violent. Now, let me express to you, and I have this, I did some research on this, because if there was any violence, it shouldn't have happened. But
I didn't see it.
No one's seen anything. There's been no, the closest thing that you had was, I think somebody picked up a chair and put it down. No one did anything. There were no arrests. Now, this is basically ties into our next segment, ladies and gentlemen, and here it is. Don't go away, it's time to play Bullshit in a Minute with your host, Debbie Wasserman Jones. Yes, Randall, it's time to play Bullshit in a Minute with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. This should be fun.
She won't take up a whole minute.
No, she will. So let me give you the framing of this entire thing. Debbie Wasserman Schultz came on the CNN broadcast with Wolf Blitzer, your favorite Wolf Blitzer. And she responded to this entire thing. Now, the proper response probably would have been, you know, it got really out of hand. There was problem on both sides. I don't think the chair was listening that well. It could have been handled differently. Why don't we get together and talk? Now, that's charitable.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened. Okay? But do you think that happened?
No.
No, not at all. So we've clocked Debbie Wasserman Schultz in her interview with Wolf Blitzer, ladies and gentlemen. And we've clocked how many lies can Debbie Wasserman Schultz tell in a minute?
Ooh, what?
So start your engines, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. This is the opening of the interview. This is the first thing she says. Listen to this.
Well, first, let me just reiterate that the Democratic National Committee remains neutral in this primary based on our rules.
I'm sorry. I fell off my chair.
You just fell off your chair.
We're remaining neutral in this whole primary exercise.
You know, as a stand-up comic, I think it's important that she leads with her good stuff. But just in case any of you have forgotten exactly how impartial the DNC has been.
And neutral. Without even putting in the clutch.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, here are the top five examples of how they haven't been neutral. DNC Debbie Wasserman Schultz has taken a lot of heat for scheduling only 6 primary debates. Now, this started. There were 12 debates, scheduling them at times traditionally known for low TV ratings. The Saturday night debate at the beginning of this process in Manchester, New Hampshire, coincided with the Saturday night NFL game on CBS and additionally competing with the opening weekend of a highly anticipated Star Wars sequel. The debate was also just 6 nights before Christmas, when many Americans are traveling for holidays. The next debate in January took place at the same time as an NFL playoff game. When asked about the timing of the Democratic debates, Martin O'Malley said, well, I guess Christmas Eve is booked.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. It's not just that. They've also scheduled the next three on nights that Game of Thrones is on.
Absolutely. So even if you... All right, maybe you don't accept that. How about this one? In a recent Vice News report... By the way, this is from the Huffington Post. In a recent Vice News report, reporter Peter Volker described seeing firsthand how the Clinton campaign, wait for it, had rented a campaign office within the local Democratic Party office in Nevada.
Yeah, well, they probably got a deal. Yeah.
Indeed, both the Clinton field office and the Carson City Democratic Party list at the same address, 502 East John Street in Carson City, with its, and this is a quote from the article, with its walls papered with Hillary Clinton signs and the seats carefully arranged for the Hillary for America ribbon cutting, it was hard to tell where the Democratic Party's offices ended and the Clinton office began.
Of course.
Number three.
It's my turn. It's my turn.
Damn it. I own it. It's mine. You can all go
Bill
to hell.
Said it was my turn to be president. It's my turn.
Dismantled. Now, this is number three, which is absolutely amazing. Back in the early part of this candidacy, most obvious example of DNC favoritism toward Clinton was basically the Bernie Sanders campaign filed a federal lawsuit with the DNC after... When a guy named Josh Horetsky, a national data director for Sanders' campaign, admitted to improperly accessing the Clinton campaign data during a 40-minute security breach, the system that all Democratic campaigns use to monitor voting patterns and use for their outreach, the DNC responded by, guess what, shutting off the Sanders campaign access to their entire database, crippling their ground strategy. The move,
and it was their fault that the stuff was left out open
absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely, and not only that, it is against the campaign rules to do that unless you notify and give a 90-day warning to the campaign. The move was unprecedented as a punishment for any campaign. Robert Reich, Bill Clinton's former Secretary of Labor, started a petition calling for Sanders to file to be reinstated. David Axelrod, who is for Hillary, former advisor to President Obama, equated the DNC's punishment to putting the finger on the scale for Clinton. Number four.
That's actually a lovely analogy.
It's just a finger on the scale. The DNC finance chair was caught raising money for Hillary Clinton.
Of course.
The DNC operates under strict rules of remaining impartial. Evidently as to what it... During the primary process until the nominees have been selected. But one DNC official, a guy named Henry R. Munoz, who used to be a top fundraiser for President Obama, this past summer organizes fundraisers for Hillary Clinton.
It's my turn! It's my turn!
The last one is the DNC lined up super delegates for Clinton. Even before the first votes were made, the DNC has helped Clinton subvert the democratic process by going around courting the party bosses so that basically she had a majority of the superdelegates in her column before even one vote was made. Now, if after all that you still think that she's not lying, I don't know what to say. Now, here's lie number two. Yes, there's more.
There's more.
No, there's more. Steak knives. All right, here it is. Debbie, what else have you got for us?
But when I heard what happened at the Nevada State Democratic Convention this weekend, I was deeply disturbed. Regardless of any campaign or candidate's frustration over process, there should never be a but when it comes to condemning violence and intimidation. Violence and intimidation are never acceptable under any circumstances, and what happened at that convention was unacceptable. I was not at the convention, and the Democratic National Committee didn't have anything to do with the way the meeting was run.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go through this horseshit sandwich that has been served up by this woman.
One of her committee members is the chair, had nothing to do with it?
Nothing to do with it. All right, lie number two. Not condemn violence. This is basically, this is a comment that Bernie had not condemned the violence. Well, first of all, there was no violence.
There was none.
There was absolutely not one arrest, not one photo of anybody doing anything. But even that, this is what Bernie Sanders' campaign came out with. This is a quote. Within the last few days, there have been a number of criticisms made against my campaign organization. Party leaders in Nevada, for example, claim that the Sanders campaign has a penchant for violence. That is nonsense. Yeah. Our campaign has held large, giant rallies all across this country, including in high-crime areas, and there have been zero reports of violence. And here it is. Our campaign, of course, believes in non-violent change and goes without saying that I condemn any and all forms of violence, including the personal harassment of individuals. That's a condemnation. Now, to say that Bernie Sanders has not condemned that is a goddamn lie.
Of course it is.
A straight-up lie. So, congratulations, Debbie. Now let's go back to violence.
Oh, let's have another lie. Oh,
No, this is the same one, because there are three lies in there. All right. One, she said there was violence. Now, let me read you to this. This is from the local Reno paper. John Ralston, this is from Slopes, that classified this allegation as completely untrue. John Ralston, a dean of political reporting in Nevada, has spread nothing less than a pack of lies about what went down at the state's Democratic convention. No chairs were thrown at the convention. Ralston reported live from the convention for most of the day, but decided to leave before tensions boiled over. Nevertheless, it was taken as a simple fact that he observed Sanders supporters throwing chairs. As it turned out, and this guy Ralston, he's the source of this. As it turned out, Ralston finally admitted that he hadn't seen this himself.
He wasn't even there.
But was relying especially on another guy who just told him that.
Mm.
He has not produced the stills in question. Now, a guy named Andrew Davey, who was a local reporter, was the first one who said this. But he has produced not produced one still. He did retweet a still image of a chair being held high that was initially posted on Reddit. In spite of the fact that the whole thing was filmed live from multiple angles, no one has any images or video of even a single chair, let alone chairs plural, being thrown. And now, the next lie is Roberta Lang is connected to the DNC. Well, I went to the Roberta Lang appreciation page, which has sprouted up on the Hillary website. This is how they describe her. Currently, Roberta is serving her second term as chairwoman of the National Nevada State Democratic Committee, but not working tirelessly to elect Democrats and build the Democratic Party. In 2012, Roberta proudly led the Nevada delegates to the DNC. And here's what you should listen to. Recently, her peers re-elected her to a second term on the Democratic National Committee Executive Committee.
Yeah.
She is from the friggin' DNC. She's on one of the major committees of the DNC. For Debbie Wasserman Schultz to say that she has no voice and it's not connected is an absolute lie. It's
a lie. Of
course
it is.
Total lie. But we're gonna go again because the interview gets better. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this again.
Their supporters understand that the most important and correct way to respond to any frustration they have over process is to be civil and orderly, not respond with violence and intimidation. And that needs to be unequivocally condemned. And unfortunately, it has not been unequivocally condemned.
Yes, if you repeat a lie over and over, people believe it. She went on. This is 2 minutes after that. Here we go.
Incumbent upon all Democratic leaders to make sure that they lead, that they speak out against violence and intimidation, that those tactics be condemned.
Again, a bold-faced lie. There was no violence. There was no violence. There is no violence. It didn't happen. Oh, a minute later, what does she say?
I think it should be pretty clear to anybody that violence and intimidation is never acceptable under any circumstances, and it should be condemned, and there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
So, repeating that lie over and over and over. First of all, Randy, do you think she was prepped?
Yeah, because some of those lines, the sound bites were well placed.
Identical. She's running a trope. She got together with the Hillary campaign and said, "This is how we're going to push them out. We're going to label. We're going to lie about everything that happened in Nevada. We are going to label them thugs, and we're going to use that against them to kill them in the press." Now then, Debbie Wasserman Schultz takes it upon herself to give us a little bit of a lecture. Here it is.
Instructions be given and plans made to communicate with supporters who may not always be familiar with the way the democratic process works.
Yeah, Randy, you know, if only we knew what the democratic process looked like. Mm. It's just our problem. We're just too ignorant. Are you telling me that that travesty, that absolute screw job, was democratic?
Of course not.
It's not.
It didn't even follow proper meeting procedure.
Absolutely not. It was completely a setup. This is what the Democratic National Committee is doing to Sanders supporters even after their candidate has a mathematically huge grip on the nomination, where technically, really, it's almost already done. This is what they do to you after they win.
Mm. Here, you know what, Bill? I read an article the other day that said this election will be the end of party politics.
It should be.
It will be.
It will be. It will be.
I think it will be. I think what we're going to have happen is that they're going to go to the convention and they're going to treat the national convention just like they treated the Nevada convention and say, "Oh, Bernie got. Oh, Bernie's out. Oh, sorry, Hillary's the nominee."
But
there wasn't even a proper ballot.
You know,
and that's what they're going to do. And everybody's going to walk.
Mm.
They're going to split the Democratic Party.
Jesus Christ.
And Trump is going to Trump in. God. And that's what's going to happen.
They are planning for 1968 all over again. This is what they...
Exactly.
They are so immensely stupid. There was no reason for this to happen. They're going to smear his wife. I think they are going to smear his wife, which is on its way right now. That you look at the Atlantic Monthly, and they're trying to pin the college going under as, you know, as being the result of Jane Sanders. This is what they do to you. This is, I was talking to my wife about it, and I was saying, this would never happen if Barack Obama was running, he'd have the political good sense to try to build bridges with the people he ran against. Absolutely. Joe Biden would be the same way. This is an indication of how incredibly venal the Hillary Clinton campaign really is.
It's my turn.
If you want to split the Democratic Party up, if you want to really, they are so bone-ass stupid, Randy. They have absolutely no smarts at all.
Mm-hmm.
They are literally going to repel all these Bernie voters from ever voting for her, and we're going to end up with a fascist as president. And they don't give a shit because they're arrogant, dumbass, and stupid. It's just amazing to me.
And we're gonna change the name of the Bill Show.
That's right.
To Radio Free Australia.
I thought you were gonna change the name to Arrogant, Dumbass, and Stupid.
No, we're going to be the voice of America. There's going to be an iron curtain dropped down around the California coast.
I've used up about 29 minutes, but this made me so angry. It's so unnecessary. It's just so unnecessary.
Well, your analysis is terrific because I didn't quite realize what I was hearing and seeing. I mean, I knew they were shafted. I knew they were railroaded by this whole process. That's really disgusting. And then when I read this article saying there will never be the Republican Party is going to be killed by Trump, and the Democratic Party is going to be killed by Hillary trying to do this to Sanders, and next time around there's not going to be
be really cooler heads have to prevail. I think that Barack Obama needs to get involved. He needs to pick up the phone right now and talk to the people in the Clinton campaign and talk to people in the DNC and say, let's get this thing together. Stop the bullshit. Take away David Brock. Take him away. Mm. Let Bernie run out the time. This is, you know, the only thing that Bernie wants it. But the only thing Bernie wants is to have a voice in the Democratic Party. He doesn't want his policies to be totally ignored. And that's what the DNC is basically saying. So it leads Bernie people to believe, look, he's the guy at the parade who says the emperor is naked, that the entire system is corrupt. And you go about proving that fact every single day. So you need to not prove that fact. But are they going to listen to us? Absolutely not. Listen, the reason that I did this long thing was because my good friend, he's not my personal friend, but I love him, John Stewart, said this in his last Camera 3 thing, okay? And I think that we need to do, we need to basically voice this because, as he said, bullshit is everywhere.
Bullshitters have gotten pretty lazy. And their work is easily detected. And looking for it is kind of a pleasant way to pass the time. Like an I spy of bullshit. So I say to you tonight, friends, the best defense against bullshit is vigilance. So if you smell something, say something. We'll be right back.
Educate. Syncopate. Radio communicate.
Now, here comes the music.
Hi, this is Val from Glens Falls, New York, and I listen to the Bill Show podcast.
Tell the truth. Don't be bullshitting people. Like I say, there's enough bullshit as it is. There's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit to hold things together in this country. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, your vote counts. Business is honest, the good guys win, the police are on your side, God is watching you. Your standard of living will never decline, and everything is going to be just fine. The official national bullshit story. I call it the American okey-doke. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of stuff. They put it in the heads of kids. They pound it in there because kids are too young to be able to mount a sophisticated argument against these kind of ideas. And so kids, and up to a certain age, by the way, kids are going to believe everything a grown-up tells them, everything. So kids never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions things. Why? People are too fat and happy. People are way too fucking prosperous for their own good. Everyone's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes and rub their balls now, you know? So, nobody wants to rock the boat. And people just, gizmo. Americans have been silenced, bought off and silenced by gizmos and toys. And as a result, no one's ever learned to question things. No one questions things in this country anymore. No one questions things. Now, okay.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant. Just all gather round. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for the favorite part of our show.
It's not the favorite part. Just stop that.
Well, it's one of them. It's time for Randy's Rant. What do you got for us, Randy?
Bill, they come here for you. I'm the support act. I just stay.
I got to tell you, Randy, I come here for you.
Oh, well, you're the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. And dear Val, did you hear Val on there? Isn't she sweet?
Yeah, Val. We love Val.
Yeah, and George Carlin, who's been dead for now, what, 10 years? keeps coming back with these brilliant things.
He does. Hey, listen, let me just say one thing. If you are one of our listeners and you would like to send an MP3 off to us and do a vocal ID, you just pop it in the email, folks. You can reach us on thebillshow.xbi@gmail.com. Or you can attach your MP3 and send it to us on our site, thebillshow.net.
And that's it.
If it's just a 30-second thing. And
or even like Val is just 8 seconds. Yeah, that's all we need. Yeah.
And we'd be glad to have you guys.
Just give us your name and where you're from.
Yeah.
You know, bumfuck Idaho or something like
well,
that.
Well, no, don't say that. People are proud of the place they live.
It's a real town, you know.
It is. All right. Yeah. But, if you're interested and you would like to hear yourself on an international podcast.
In 61 countries around the world.
And by the way, thank you, Val. We love you and thank you for doing it. So send it in to The Bill Show. And even if you have a question, you have a comment, maybe you want to make us to slip that in the show, we'd be more than thrilled to hear from you. So what have you got for us, Randy?
Oh, back to the rant. Okay, now something has surfaced on social media, regular media, religious media, media that has got everybody losing their minds.
What is it?
Well, if you remember a couple years ago, we played a track about how Disney films were turning your children gay. And we all had a chuckle. It was our good friend Kevin Swanson again. The one who had that convention where all the GOP candidates spoke. He's a well-known religious ratbag. Anyway.
I believe that's on his business card.
It is, too, yeah. And he's proud of it.
He is proud of it. Yeah.
Okay, if you go on there and Google him, you'll find a picture of a ratbag. Now, anyway, the religious right has come out about the sequel to Frozen, which is in production.
Oh, good.
It was the all-time top-grossing film for Disney so far, as both the musical and everything. It was huge. And a lot to do because of the song Let It Go and the cheekiness of the characters and the talking moose and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, they've come out now because rumors have started.
Oh, my God.
That Disney is thinking of giving Elsa a girlfriend.
No!
Yeah. The religious right demand that Disney give their heroine a boyfriend and stop homosexualizing the kids. Okay? Now, because even though they followed the set pattern that you always have your parents die early in the film to give you hardship, which, Bambi, everybody, their parents die. It's just part of the Disney formula. But this time, Elsa ended up being the only character that never had a romantic interest in a hit Disney film.
Mm.
You know? But why, that was one of the reasons that they said it was turning our kids gay. Why does a woman have to have a straight relationship with a man in order to be fulfilled as a character? Even Mulan had that stupid guy, the general, come around in the last scene. You know, I hope you stay for dinner. Because even though she was this huge heroine, she had to have a man. Well, hopefully Frozen 2 is going to put an end to that. And,
right.
So if they give her a girlfriend.
Yes.
Or nothing.
Yes.
I hope the stupid religious right will drop this thing that straight is great, gay is bad, Disney is turning our kids gay. Now let's have a listen to a couple of our friends who are going to tell us about this. This is a subset of the of our mates at TYT. It's called the Think Tank. It usually has a couple people on camera. This time it's Hannah Cranston and John Yandarola. Who we often see on the main desk. But this is their little group called the Think Tank. Let's have a listen to them.
Absolutely.
A new Frozen 2 rumor is dividing the internet.
I think they should let it go.
loved Frozen, and we're highly anticipating the sequel. But to quell some of our anxieties about the second rendition of the Disney favorite, we need to come up with rumors, clearly. Mm-hmm. So the latest rumor that is hitting the internet is that Elsa is going to come out as gay. So it can be recalled that Queen Elsa is the first and still the only Disney princess who doesn't have a romantic interest, a fact that sparked a flurry of speculations over her sexuality and a number of accusations towards Disney about making a supposedly child-oriented film that had LGBT overtones. So it has been leaked that Elsa will have a love interest in the second movie.
And so Ellen DeGeneres.
People are saying that she's going to come out as a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so basically the people who have this theory say that the whole ice princess thing is a metaphor. So she has this power that she, you know, it's not accepted in society, so she must hide it. And eventually she learns to accept it, and then that's, you know, her coming out, and then she'll officially come out in the second movie.
So their theory is that lesbianism is a superpower that needs to be restrained from the world, because if it busts forth, no one can stand before its splendor.
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's cool. I don't think it's a superpower.
I don't mind the metaphor aspect, if that is the case. I think that's great. I think Disney should have an LGBT character. I don't think they're going to do it because they're going to lose a huge...
They could.
I don't know, right? In our current climate right now, I don't think they will, because this is their top grossing film, and I think they would lose a large fan base. Unfortunately, maybe, because of the way that our society views that community, I think they would lose a large fan base. So I don't think they would take that hit monetarily. But what my biggest issue with this is that just because she don't have a man in the first film, they're like, oh, she's a lesbian.
Clearly.
What?
Yeah, or frigid, which sort of makes sense, actually. Because she's frozen. Why does she have to have any love interest? Why does every Disney prince? Is it like, was Bambi like looking to hump? Oh, wait, I think he was actually looking to hump somebody. It doesn't have to be about that. Like, why does every movie have to be about relationship? I get where you're going there. You can have a Disney movie that's not about somebody looking to bone. It's for kids.
Yeah, Bill.
Jesus Christ.
She's frigid because it's frozen.
Is that the name of the sequel? Frigid.
Frigid. No, I think they're very generic about this. It'll be Frozen 2, The Cold Continues, yes. Or The Winter. Anyway, Bill, these people, like I say, have lost their minds.
Yes.
There are hundreds of thousands of signatures on petitions saying, give Elsa a prince. Queen Elsa must have a prince character and a normal friend. This is, the National Organization for Marriage has come out demanding that Elsa be straight.
Can I just ask one thing to you? Because last episode, your rant involved a bunch of beanheads running around losing their lunch because bathrooms might be invaded. And now you have another group, or probably the same group of beanheads, worrying about the sexual proclivities of a fucking animated character.
Character, now, yes! Yes!
Where do these people find the fucking time?
I think, Bill, it's actually what's called the art of distraction. Magicians use it so your left hand doesn't see what the right hand is doing.
Right. Okay.
I think these things are brought up just to take your mind off the important stuff, like
climate change.
America spends 60% of its budget on the military.
By the way, can I just say, all you people down there who are fussing about this, if you're really worried about Frozen, check the temperatures that you're going to be experiencing in 50 or 30 years, please.
Yes, no, really. Exactly. Now, we've got all these things coming out. But, of course, our friend Kevin Swanson, who originally said Frozen, the first movie, was a hidden message to turn our children gay.
Yeah.
Well, now he's come out with a comment about this. So let's hear young Kevin Swanson, Pastor Kevin Swanson, pastor used by date, if you ask me, Pastor Kevin Swanson talking about Frozen.
Yeah, Pastor Kevin Swanson, here he is.
Anybody who opposes the homosexualizing of the kids is shamed for it and has been shamed, and very few people have stood against the homosexualizing of children in K-6 schools in Douglas County, Colorado, or anywhere else where the GLSEN program is constantly being pushed.
So are you saying that you've taken flack for this?
Well, all you need to do to prove the point that anybody who opposes the homosexualizing of the kids' agenda is shamed, all you need to do is check out Kevin Swanson and the word frozen on your Google search, and you'll see that there is somebody who attempted it. I tested it. I know it. Anybody who has the guts to stand up against the homosexualizing of kids in the present day will be shamed for it, and that means that the homosexualizing of kids will be, I think, wholesale happening across this country in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Of course, Elsa is going to get her girlfriend eventually. That's the way you destroy sexuality. That's the way you destroy an entire civilization. The entire social system of the United States of America is collapsing. But in order for the system to collapse, you've got to be sure that the destruction maintains a cross-generational vision. You've got to be sure that you have homosexualized 4-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds in order to destroy a civilization, because the destruction of a civilization happens over 2 or 3 or maybe 4 generations max. In order to bring a civilization down, you've got to homosexualize the kids.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
So let's move on to some lighter news in North Korea. Alphabetically speaking, the world's foremost Korea. This week, that country saw a major event.
Ominous developments in North Korea right now, where the biggest political event in decades is underway. The first gathering of the Communist Party elites in some 36 years.
That's right. The North Korean Workers' Party had its first gathering since 1980. And I'm guessing the first order of business was therefore, oh my God, how good was Cheers? How good was Cheers, guys? This event was so momentous, North Korea actually invited around 130 foreign journalists to come cover it, where they got the chance to meet some normal, everyday, completely unscripted Pyongyang citizens.
Kim Jong-un 원수님께서 최고이십니다.
Yes, he is the best one in the world.
The best leader in the world.
Yeah, it is the most powerful country in the world.
What should America know about your leader?
Comrade Kim is the best in the world, she says, and a peacemaker.
We don't have anything against Americans, but we don't like American policymakers, she said.
What do you think of President Obama?
Obama 상통에 싸가기고 싶습니다.
If she's given the weapon, provided the weapon, she wants to shoot at him.
So if she's given a weapon, she would shoot at President Obama?
Uh-huh. She wants to shoot at him.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. There is literally no other response to that than wow. Especially because you don't often hear assassination threats in the same wistful tone of voice. You'd say, well, if I had a bread maker, it would be focaccia every morning. But the highly choreographed tour for the foreign journalists didn't stop there. They were also taken to a model farm that seemed weirdly devoid of farmers, a nursery school with this on the wall, and even a gun factory turned museum with great historical significance.
We're told the founder and president, Kim Il-sung, test-fired the first locally produced submachine gun 50 meters, more than 160 feet, hitting those two targets with a bullseye every time.
This rifle, apparently fired by the founder of the DPRK, Kim Il-sung, even his wife, and then later his son, Kim Jong-il, they all apparently hit bullseye.
Comrade Kim Jong-il shot 3 bullets and 3 of them got bullseye.
They all got bullseye. Mm-hmm. And how old was he at the time?
He was 7-year-old.
The 7-year-old got 3 bullseyes?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. 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 That is a very professional translator. A 7-year-old got 3 bullseyes. Mm-hmm. A 7-year-old, I said, mm-hmm. Still, the whole point of the trip was to attend Kim Jong-un's speech. However, at the last minute, the journalists were not allowed into the building, were instead taken back to their hotel, where they couldn't even watch the speech on state TV because, as one of them showed on Vine, it was airing an old black and white Korean military drama. So her readers were reduced to watching someone watching North Korean television, and now you're watching this show watch someone watching North Korean television. It's like a Russian nesting doll if every piece was less entertaining than a plain wooden doll that does nothing. But thankfully, 13 hours later, the state TV did give some inkling of what was going on inside that meeting.
The state television channel broke into regular programming with a special news bulletin announcing that Kim Jong-un will be elected this weekend to a new, even more grandiose title than the one he currently holds.
Ooh, Kim Jong-un is getting a title bump. I guess the only question is, what's the title going to be? Will it be Supreme Leader? Triple Supreme Leader? I happen to think the most fitting would be Kim Lisi, Mother of Dragons, because think about it, given his unpredictable violence and fantastical family history, he's perhaps the only person on Earth who could conceivably win the Game of Thrones.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Well, yes, Randy, it is our tinfoil hat segment.
Yeah, let me get my hat on. Yeah.
Okay, get the hat on.
Yeah, okay.
You got it on?
Okay, it's on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. You look lovely. Now, you have a tinfoil hat and I have a hero. Why don't we start with your tinfoil hat? What do you got?
Oh, we always start with me. Ladies first. Yeah. Okay. Last week, we, as you mentioned earlier, had a thing about how people were losing their minds over perverts going into the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies, Starbucks, Target, department stores, came out and said, you're full of shit. People can use our toilets however they identify.
Yeah.
Now, the GOP was absolutely right about this.
Right.
Thanks to Target's decision to let transgender people use the bathroom in which they feel the most comfortable, mm-hmm. all sorts of weirdos are showing up at Target now.
Oh, God, so, more than right. the usual.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of Walmart.
No, Target okay. as well.
Now, we're not talking about people going into the ladies' room to relieve themselves.
No.
A new creepy trend has spread with the Christian right, as we talked about last week.
Right.
With them coming in to the toilets, screaming about abstinence-only and then waving Bibles and attacking people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to have caught...
Did they throw chairs?
No, oh, they throw children.
Oh,
I
right.
I happen to have caught this woman on tape.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to play what she has to say about the bathrooms in Target.
Okay.
Attention, Target customers! Do not be deceived. Target would have you believe with their Mother's Day displays that they love mothers and children. This is a deception. This is not love, and they've proven it by opening their bathrooms to perverted men. I am a mother of 12, and I am very disgusted by this wicked practice. Target does not protect mothers and children. Mothers, get your children out of this store! Mothers, have enough decency to get out of this store! It's a dangerous place! This is not loving! What Target has done is very hateful! It's hateful towards families! It's hateful towards mothers! It's hateful towards children! America, when are you gonna wake up? When are you gonna stand up for the right things, America?
For children.
Are you gonna let the devil rape your children, America? It's time to stand up and have a voice. Instead of bowing to the homosexual perverted agenda that's taking over this nation.
No, they don't.
You need to run and flee this place.
You're very unloving.
I wouldn't spend a penny of my money here. This is wicked. This is confusion. This is twisted.
Have you guys please leave?
This is abominable in the sight of God.
Don't be a wicked target.
Look how incredible it is evil.
Repent. The judgment of God is coming on this nation and target.
Can I have a price check in aisle four, please? Can I have a price check in aisle four?
Looney in aisle four. Looney in aisle four.
We have a spill. We have a spill.
We're having a special on loonies today.
Yeah, we have a spill. We have a spill in aisle 12. caution, wet floor.
Yes, mad case nut job in aisle four.
Oh, dear. I couldn't resist. I mean, this lady marched through Target. She's waving a Bible.
Oh, God.
And yeah. She's got her 12 children in tow and her husband, whom we've heard at the end. And it's just awful. I mean,
yeah, I know. It's stupid. And, you know, the real sadness is that she wasn't in Target at all. She was in a hardware store. She just lost her way.
Yeah. No, she was in Target, and I saw it's on video, actually.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. So she deserves a full-on tinfoil hat. Yeah. In the shape of a cross.
Yes, darling. Yes, yeah. Off you go then. Off you go.
Thank you.
I think that Pastor Manning was outside in a... Yeah, no, he was outside in a reception area. Pastor Manning wants to come in. Pastor Manning, what do you have to say about this?
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina.
No, you're right. Yes,
you're talking about
you're
being
right,
hot.
Pastor Manning.
Well, you sure
yes,
not going to be
Pastor
hot.
Manning,
you're going to have a flame right, shooting enough, out of your enough, vagina. Enough, and you're going to need asbestos panties to stop him, that flame. I'm the Lord.
I said I'm
the Lord.
Grab him. All right, push him out. All right.
Oh. He's gone now.
But he was wearing the dress today. He was wearing that wonderful low-cut thing that he wears out the other reception.
Well, he actually used to wear a cassock, but now he wears these really flash suits and things.
They are just wonderful.
Yeah.
They make him look younger.
From Brooks Brothers, yeah.
From Brooks Brothers, yes. Now, I'm going to actually end the show on a much more high, low note, but we lost an American institution in the past, just this week. Morley Safer, who was one of the great reporters back when CBS was CBS and not the twisted, malignant tumor of nothingness that it has become. This is Morley Safer reported and worked for 60 Minutes, but he was also working for CBS since 1963-64.
Wow.
This is an actual true thing. Morley Safer quit his job at CBS the day before he died.
Timing. That's impeccable timing.
Absolute timing. But I was absolutely compelled to listen to... This is broadcast news. This is what it used to be. This is when now you watch this infantile gibbering on cable television. You forget that there was a time in which people like Cronkite, people like Harry Reasoner, people like
Will McAvoy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's basically that fictional character, and that's the only place you'll find it, because otherwise you're sitting there with Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer and Chuck Todd. But there was a time in which you actually had newsmen at positions of power in the major networks in America who questioned power, and now that has been decimated. Censorship is rife. The corporate media is in control. But just so that you know that it did happen at one time, and to pay tribute to an amazing journalist, ladies and gentlemen, this is his report from the Vietnam War in 1964. And it's about... He followed a company going into combat. And I'm going to leave it there and let Walter Cronkite do the introduction. This is some of the classic broadcasting that you may not feel came from a network news, but it certainly did. 1964, CBS, and this is Morley Safer on the ground in Vietnam.
The first war to appear almost every night on the evening news. It was, in the words of author Michael Arlen,
the living room war. One of those television reports in 1965 provided one of the enduring images of the Vietnam War, a Marine and a cigarette lighter. The reporter was Morley Safer.
This is what the war in Vietnam is all about. The old and the very young. The Marines have burned this old couple's cottage because fire was coming from here. And now when you walk into the village, you see no young people at all. Fire was coming from light automatic weapons. Fire was coming from all of these villages. It's not really one village. It's a string of huts. And the people that are left, come this way, Karen. The people that are left are like this woman here, the very old.
Been in action like this before, Marie?
No, I haven't. Not like this, I haven't.
Did you set fire to these houses here?
No, we were just off to the left of it when it was burning.
Were you getting fire from them?
Somewhat, not too much. A slow sniper fire.
It first appeared that the Marines had been sniped at and that a few houses were made to pay. Shortly after, an officer told me he had orders to go in and level the string of hamlets that surrounds Cam Nhi Village. And all around the common paddy field that feeds these hamlets, a ring of fire. 150 homes were leveled in retaliation for a burst of gunfire. In Vietnam, like everywhere else in Asia, property, a home, is everything. A man lives with his family on ancestral land. His parents are buried nearby. Their spirit is part of his holding. If there were Viet Cong in the hamlets, they were long gone. Alerted by the roar of the amphibious tractors and the heavy barrage of rocket fire laid down before the troops moved in. The women and the old men who remained will never forget that August afternoon. The day's operation burned down 150 houses, wounded three women, killed one baby, wounded one Marine, and netted these four prisoners. Four old men who could not answer questions put to them in English. Four old men who had no idea what an ID card was.
Yes, folks, we've been doing it for literally, oh God, forever. We keep doing the same thing. You could release that report today about Afghanistan or Iraq. We never friggin' learn. And the reason that it's acceptable now is because this was on at 7:30 at night on network news.
Yep.
These people, these brave journalists like Morley Safer, forced the American people to actually look at the consequences of their foreign policy. And that...
The first television war.
Well, that no longer happens.
Nope.
No, that no longer happens. And that's why it's so easy for us to conduct a drone war. That's why it's so easy for us to be consistently at war. Consistently at war. We have been consistently at war since World War II, folks. And the only administration that has not fired a shot in anger so far is the Jimmy Carter administration.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is the gutlessness, the absolute criminal neglect of journalism that we have seen in this presidential election and in network television, period. It is, you no longer have a free press. You no longer have
1964 was the year Eduardo Murrow died. Who previously on CBS would have been the face of CBS.
Yeah.
He died in 64. I'm going to have to watch Good Night and Good Luck again, I think.
I know.
George Clooney's film.
George Clooney's film. This is actually from a series that's available on YouTube. It's Cronkite did a series on the Vietnam War. So check it out. Walter Cronkite, Vietnam. And it goes on for about an hour. It is some of the most immensely fantastic, well, I mean, disturbing, but incredible reporting. But
I grew up watching his 20th Century series.
Oh, absolutely.
My father had to watch every episode.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful series. Yep. Watched it every week.
And that's when, you know, Network News was run by journalists and not whores.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true. It was run by journalists. And when the news departments became absorbed into entertainment, and now if you look at...
And owned by one person, Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah. And but, I mean, it's like, look at the coverage of this election. Look at this. It's disgraceful. And I'm so glad.
And slanted, yeah.
Yeah, I think Morley Safer probably died of shame. You know, I really do. I think that...
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just cannot... This once noble news organization, and CBS was when I was growing up. It was a noble news organization.
We both grew up, yeah.
It was it was the absolute sterling gold standard in television news, and it's been turned into a disgusting... vile whorehouse. It's just
Who's going to inherit the mantle? Your Rachel Maddows?
No, there is no mantle anymore. There is no mantle. You look at MSNBC, you look at CBS, you look at Fox, you look at they're all owned by corporates. No, the only free and fair kind of commentary you can sometimes get, I think, is from the PBS. NPR's gone to the right and is starting to censor their stuff. The BBC. You know, and then of course, you know, that brings us to, you know, all the internet news programs that we listen to, because we want to get our news basically from a situation in which we're not being conditioned, and that's exactly
our good friend Cenk Uygur and TYT is growing in leaps and bounds.
Of course, they are.
In the 10 or more years since they started, I think 2002, leaps and bounds in the last year.
It is. And
more power to them. It's terrific.
Right. TYT, have a look at them.
As a news network, they have podcasts, they have video casts, all those things on TYT. It's terrific.
And there is a point of view. I mean, it is a left-wing broadcast, but there are many other things that you can listen to on the net that will bring you... just strict news without listening to the merry-go-round of garbage that we talk about all the time on this show. So anyway,
I like the merry-go-round.
I do, except I fear it. It's become terrible. Anyway, enough of that bad stuff.
I'm reaching for the brass ring.
All right. Well, listen, it's about time for us to close up shop, Randy. Anything else to say?
Oh, it is. Yeah, time for my meds and send me to bed.
Yeah, I think it's about that time. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach us, of course you can. You can reach us over on thebillshow.net, thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. You can also reach us on our Facebook site. Please send a 15 or 20-second grab if you have a comment. We'll play it on the show. Keep it clean in the form of an MP3. And you can send...
Oh, no, they can send any sound file, I'll convert it.
Can you do that? Oh, fabulous. So just...
I can do anything, Willie.
That scares me. So,
oh, stop it. You said you were going to clean up your act.
I did. So anyway, listen, just reach us over at the Bill Show on XPR Facebook site and thebillshow.net. And you can reach us at our home Podbean address at www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. We will be back in about a week and a half with more crazy stuff next time. Say goodbye, Randall.
Goodbye, Randall.
No, your name. Goodbye.
Good night, Dick.
Goodbye,
good night,
Val.
Dick.
Thanks. Bye,
Val. Thank you.
We love you.
Goodbye, Randy.
Bye, Randy.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.